Hey, everybody. My name is Damara West, and I'm founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and liberation so that they can lead and live on their own terms. I am overjoyed about welcoming you into the Abundance Summit, which is all about amplifying your power to draw in more money, more joy, and more ease. And the guest that I have in the lineup is going to help inspire that in every single one of us. Christy Kennedy is the image confidence expert. She's a TEDx Audacious Leadership Keynote Speaker and Authentic Lifestyle Author. As the owner of Queenfidence Global Image Consulting, her electrifying inspirational gift empowers visionaries with confidence and clarity, keys to find their voice, to free their voice, and to look fabulous using their voice. She specializes in four areas of peak performance: mindset mastery, massive momentum, magnetic messaging, and potential maximization. She is a certified radical resilience coach who builds powerhouse mindsets equipped for success. Her evocative teaching style elevates your self-perception from stuck to unstoppable, invisible to invisible, and timid to tenacious. Her bodacious belief is a testament that you can shift from mediocrity to magnificence, one daring action step at a time. Oh my gosh, Christy, I love that bio. All of those words, like wordplay was happening. I was like, ooh, ooh, ow. So I am so glad that you are here with me as a partner on the Abundance Summit. And I'm so excited about what we will impart from you today. So thank you for being here, Queen.
Thank you. It's an honor, absolute honor. And I can't wait to get into it.
All right, let's do it. So you have done a great deal over the course of your career. Tell us the story behind how you got to this point in your life.
Where I start, Damara, is really with saying yes. I started saying yes to success. I started saying yes to me. I started saying yes to a future that in my own mind's eye, when I was young, was impossible to reach. I just started saying yes. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of those yeses led to one opportunity, to another opportunity, to another opportunity, to a handsome husband that treats me like a queen, to this and that, and everything in between. It was starting with yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so even though this seems like really simple and like an obvious thing, the reality is that many people are not saying yes to themselves, and women in general, and more specifically, if we're talking about this from an intersectional lens, Black women really have a hard time saying yes to themselves because we are so conditioned to care for other people. So how do we step into making more room for that yes to get us closer to what it is that we want in life?
You know, oftentimes when you think about life, life in general, we all are playing the hand that we've been dealt. You know, individuals, they could have been born with a silver spoon, other individuals, not two pennies to rub together. So it starts with a mindset shift. Hence, you know, I love the way you said it, making room. One, we start saying no to what we don't want. We start saying yes to what we do want. We make the room. But one thing I've learned, and especially even just serving women up close and personal, is being able to acknowledge it first, say it out loud. I often say that the voice of insecurity, it's like a whisper. It's very soft and quiet, but it rings loud in our inner ear. And then you have that courage, the courageous voices. I call it the lioness roar. You got to release the roar because the roar will silence the whisper. Mm. And so when they get into the habit of hearing themselves say it out loud, I can't tell you how many ladies sit in front of me saying, wow, just saying that out loud. They feel empowered. Sometimes they think they're going crazy because that whisper is been just to themselves. It's just been them and that private thought. But when you start saying it out loud, you have the audacity to acknowledge, yes, I want to be a multimillionaire. Yes, I want to have a happy home. Yes, yes, yes. It's a part of owning it. Because there's one thing to think about it, but then there's another part that says, I'm going to own this. I'm going to embody this. I'm going to live it out step by step. If I'm afraid, if I'm not, I'm going to do the thing that I desire.
Yeah. So this is important because that whisper that you just talked about mm-hmm. will become roaring unless that lioness roar, as you talked about, is loud enough to quiet it. Right? If we can interrupt it fast enough, because one of the universal laws, as I'm sure you know, is that whatever we focus on is what expands. So if we have a thought that we're not worthy of having X, Y, and Z, and we marinate on that thought long enough, that thought is going to get bigger. That vibration, the frequency of it is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we've got to be able to pay attention to our thoughts so that we can interrupt those negative thoughts quickly to keep our flow for having an abundant life, essentially.
You absolutely said it. You become what you behold. Yes. It's almost like, you know, you made me think about the magnifying glass, and you put it somewhere on a focus in, and you put it there and hold it long enough, it's going to create fire.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. And so what do you want to amplify in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Where you direct your focus.
Yeah. Well, and you know, one thing I want to say in connection to this as well is that a lot of times we're even just afraid of the very things that we want. Right. And what it makes me think about is something I read in the Four Agreements, that not only are we afraid to die, we're afraid to live. Mm-hmm. And we're afraid to live because, like, we've had all of these things in our lived experience that has kept us small, that has kept us afraid, that has kept us as a much lesser version of who we are, in part to keep us safe. And yet the very things that we've been conditioned towards for safety are the very things that are blocking us from having the kind of life that we want. So even if we just have to say it to ourselves first, even if we have to write it down on paper first, we've got to get it out of us in order for it to come to pass. And so that was a really beautiful first step. And just this acknowledgement that many of us are afraid to even latch on to speak that truth, right? Because it seems so out of reach to where we're at in our lives right now.
Yeah. Think about it. Your voice really is the key that unlocks the doors, the opportunities, that paves new paths to prosperity. It's your voice because it's a creative instrument.
Yes.
To design it. I often say we live by design and not default. I remember when I was on the default setting, you say conditioned, you're just going along to get along. And I hear some women say, I'm just going to stay neutral because, you know, it's safe here. Whatever that looks like for each individual. But when you start using your voice, you are literally creating something brand new that never existed before.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. So speaking of using your voice, you know, that's one of the key things that you do, you know, helping women define their voice, free their voice. And so how can reclaiming this part of ourselves open us up to abundance?
You know, I was just looking at a Hallmark movie a couple of nights ago. That's my treat at the end of a long day of serving. And the woman had amnesia. And then she remembered who she actually loved, the man of her dreams. And the statement that she made was, it took me forgetting who I was to remember who I am. And when you remember who you are, Demara, my goodness, you're talking about opening up. The sky is not the limit. You step into an expansiveness that allows you to be whoever you desire to be in the moment, wherever you show up, because this is your spaciousness. That's true abundance. That spaciousness of thought, that spaciousness internally, what you're talking about, you're no longer shrinking. You're allowing the largest parts of you to be outspoken, to live out loud, no longer hide. Comes from remembering who you are. That's where I started on my journey. I asked the question, who am I? Because I had all these societal labels placed on me. And even from my family members, she's the shy one. I'm the only child. I'm the shy one. And what did I do? I stepped right into that role. I had to strip the labels. I was not very good in school. So I took on the disposition that I wasn't intelligent. So I think about who I am now as a thought leader. Christy, the young version, she would no way identify with who I am right now. I had to grow into her. I had to expand into her. Mm-hmm. I had to teach her that it was okay to think out loud, because those silent thoughts were not helping anybody. The greater impact happens when she opens up her mouth.
Yes. Sis, I felt that. And I, you know, where you started with this mm-hmm. is I had to forget who I was to remember who I was. And this is so powerful, because many of us have are operating within identities that are not actually our true identities. And the minute that we believe that we are what we're not, we are going to be the thing that we are not. And so, you know, the pathway to liberation is to really think about, what labels have I taken on? And this is why, even as a, you know, I'm a licensed therapist, I don't believe in diagnosing. I understand we have to diagnose if you're working in the clinical field to bill insurance companies, et cetera, et cetera. But you hear people saying, oh, I'm depressed, or I've got this symptomology, or I've got this, and really kind of using it as an excuse for the things by which they're doing. And so, and not to minimize people's mental health status, because I take it very seriously. But the minute that we say, well, I'm depressed, well, when we think about depression and where it falls on the emotional guidance scale, that's a very low vibrational emotion. So you can have depressive symptoms, but not label yourself as someone who is depressed. That has a different vibration, right? I feel anxious at time versus I have anxiety. That has a different vibration. But even when we recognize those moments when we're feeling anxious, or we're afraid, or we're feeling sad, or whatever it might be, and knowing that we can honor those emotions and we can alchemize them into better feeling emotions, and the better we feel, the more we're able to receive. And not only are the more that we're able to receive, but the more that we're able to receive it with ease, rapidly, right? Without a whole lot of work. And so this is so critical, because no matter who we are as women, all of us have taken on labels that are not ours to own. They're somebody else's.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, we're taking these labels on in part from people that were supposed to love and care and support us. And, you know, through their own projections, they have harmed us in ways. But the only way that we can heal ourselves and align ourselves back to our true state, the essence, the knowing that you talked about, is to release any kind of labels, any kind of identity frames that are actually not serving our highest good. You know, and so I love what you said, Chrissy. It's like, God, you know, you didn't do good in school, but probably one of the reasons why you didn't do good in school is because you believed that you weren't intelligent. You had already taken on this identity. And now you are running this amazing business that is prosperous and helping to impact other people. And if you had continued to believe that lie about yourself, we wouldn't know you in the state that you're in right now. And so this is so critical. And, you know, even though people will say, oh, you know, that was the past, that has nothing to do with no, it has everything to do with who we are right now. And more importantly, where it is that we want to go in life. Sister, that you took me to church on that one. Okay. All the way.
No, but I felt it too.
Okay. Okay. So you are a radical resilience coach. And I imagine that many people don't know what that is. And so why radical?
Make it up.
Listen, we can make, well, look, we gonna make up some stuff now. But you didn't make up this one. So talk to us about what radical resilience is and why it's so important to our liberation.
You know, my latest quote that I wrote the other day was, I thank God for rock bottom, because it was the birthing place of radiant brilliance. And I was looking at a quote and it said that the diamond does not hide from the pressure. If a diamond's going to be converted into something that's magnificent and that shines, it first has to go through extreme heat, right? Extreme temperatures, extreme pressure. Most of us want to run from it. When I look back over my life in retrospect, I can see all the different things that were in common. It was like great adversity. And I used to be upset about it. Like, why me again? Another challenge. But what that was doing was creating this fortified female voice to help others who find themselves in these low places, find themselves overwhelmed, find themselves drowning, to be able to see on the other side of someone who used to be shy and timid, walking now as a powerhouse. When we look at our journey, radical resilience, we think about the word radical, Damar. Radical, it comes from having strong convictions. It's someone who holds them and they follow these strong convictions. And then you look at resilience, being able to bounce back quickly. When I went through a 10-month depression in my younger years, I remember on the other side of it, I said, I never want to lose that kind of time. And I didn't have tools back then to get me through depression. And depression taught me something so valuable, is that I need to have tools, because if not, that's a long period that I could stay stuck. And who wants to live stuck? You know how many opportunities I miss in that stuck place, that paralyzed place, the prison of my own mind? So when we talk about radical, having these strong convictions, you use your belief. I call it bodacious belief. You use that bodacious belief. I'm surrounded by 25 vision boards, 6 vision books. I have bodacious belief that I can move any mountain that stands before me. Do you see that? I'm not helpless. I'm not a victim of a circumstance. And so I can bounce back quickly because I'm using my convictions as a leverage to catapult me out of that low place into that higher state, like what you were talking about, that elevated state of being, where we're supposed to be, where we reign.
Yes. Come on, queens. Let's get this reign now. So there's so much about what you said that is just pure power. And what I want to reflect back quickly is count it all joy. It's count it all joy. Everything that happened to us is happening for us, not to us. Yeah. And if we believe that things are happening to us, that is connected to a victim mentality. If we can be victims of something, but not have a victim kind of mentality, right? Which is why in the space of trauma, we talk about being a survivor because of what the connotation of victimhood has, right? And when we're in a state of victimhood, that also permeates a lower vibrational emotion connected with it. If we want to be in a power state, and our power state allows us to receive things rapidly, to learn the lessons quickly, that's what you're talking about. Resilience is about, what can I learn in real time? God, universe, source, creator, what are you teaching me? Where are you guiding me? What are you birthing inside of me to take me to the next level as a result of this seemingly hardship that I'm experiencing? But then the other thing that I wanted to say that is so good is that, you know, a lot of times we say, well, you're right where you're supposed to be. And I do believe that. But I also believe that through our choices, we can lose time. Now, if we have done that, it's okay. We don't have to berate ourselves for it. We can forgive ourselves for that. But let's be really clear. That if people are listening today and they decided that they weren't going to do anything with this information, there's a good chance that they're going to be exactly where they are right now in this state. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to know that it is through our choices that allow us to co-create the lives that we want. And that is pure power when we know that we have the free will to execute our agency towards what it is that God, universe, source, creator wants us to have. And the minute that we start doing that, the minute God, universe, source, creator can begin conspiring to work side by side with us, right? And now we're in this like symphony. We're in this dance now because I'm working, God, universe, source, creator is working. I'm working, they're working. I'm working, they're working. And that actually creates ease in our lives. Sister.
Just hearing you say it sounds so delicious.
Oh, yes. I love love that word. That I think delicious is going to be one of my words for 2024.
Come on. Oh, let's eat up some ease today.
Yes. All right. So shifting from mediocrity, and I love hearing this in your bio, shifting from mediocrity to magnificent is such a beautifully bold banner in your work. Mm-hmm. What top five ways will get women from mediocrity to magnificence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to pull from the journey and I get sentimental. You can see my voice changed. Mediocrity in itself is just average. It's standard. It's basic. And we were not created just for basic. And so this is giving yourself one permission to shine. It starts there, giving yourself permission to shine. You think about if you see a powerful woman and if there's another woman that's insecure within herself, she will have a problem with it. And we know in the Black community that jealousy can come up. But when you give yourself permission to shine, you will appreciate someone else's radiance so much more. And going back to ease, easier. You can welcome it because you recognize it from within yourself. So just give yourself permission to shine. If you're going to step out of mediocrity and doing the same old, the next thing I would say, one of the top fives is really honoring who you are. And what does that look like? That's your self-compassion. That's your self-love every single day. Learning how to affirm yourself. As I mentioned, 25 vision boards, 6 vision books. Every single day, I'm talking back to myself. And I love speaking in front of the mirror, you know, getting into the habit. There are many women that just don't know how to affirm themselves. Yeah. Speak life to yourself. I often bring the visual in. It's like if you were to put air in the balloon, that balloon is going to enlarge itself. But the world is always speaking contrary. You know, don't dream too big. Don't go too far. Whatever the narrative is out there, that causes that balloon to start losing its air. And so when we affirm ourselves, we're blowing oxygen right back into ourselves. And we need to do that morning, noon, and night, not just in the morning, but throughout your day. If you're going to shift from mediocrity to magnificence, you have to be willing to face the fears. I'm looking at my own journey. I had to face some fears and I'm still facing some fears. But if we're going to move forward, I often say that your passion has to be greater than your petrification. Fear is a natural part of it. You get to find out how bad you are in those moments. Like, woo, I conquered that giant. So face those fears, affirm yourself. You're going to shift from mediocrity to magnificence. Now we got to start looking the part, because you think about that old paradigm that's been on repeat. If you don't even look like the successful woman you say you want to be, it's going to be sending mixed messages. And that's where I started. I remember one of my old supervisors saying, you got to dress against the grain. She said, you got to look great, even if you don't feel great. And I took that to heart, because there are some days that I don't feel my best, but no one will ever know. Over the past 2 weeks, I've had a cold, but going back to high vibration, I recognize that there's a standard I hold myself to. Yeah. Even if I've been serving all day long and session number 7, they're getting the same energy that session number 1 received, right? Because there is abundance. There is still so much more inside of me. Even if I have to tap into the reservoir, there will be overflow. See, when we're in that scarcity mentality, we think that I only have but so much. So let me start preserving. No, baby, when you give, more is given.
Yeah.
When you give, more is given. You will never run out if you are an abundant woman, an abundant state of mind. Is that 5?
Yeah, I mean, that was so good. And if it wasn't 5, honey, that was enough. Okay, so we just gonna leave it at that, because you gave us a lot. And I really love how you broke this down. And you said something, you know, passion has to be greater than petrification. Woo. Do it anyway. Because the reality is that even the person that you're looking at, and you're seeing how successful they are, we get to see the shiny parts. What we don't get to see are the times when maybe that person didn't want to get out of bed. are the times when it was really, they're getting ready to level up and it is, and it scares the shit out of them, yeah. right? The yeah. times when we are questioning our own ability to execute, even though maybe we've executed 1,000 times before, right? And so the fact that you're giving us this invitation to be really clear about what it is that we are, that we want to do in this lifetime, and continuing to focus on that. Continuing to come back to that. Mm-hmm. And I also love what you said about, you know, dressing the part, right? Being the person, embodying the physicalities of what it is that you're wanting to aspire towards. And the beautiful thing is that the research shows that when we look good in the outside, it actually helps to heal us on the inside. Now, it's not a sustainable practice. It's like getting on a roller coaster and you got the thrill of the roller coaster. You get off the roller coaster. You're walking through the park. You're like, oh my God, that was so amazing. Well, eventually you're going to forget about the fact that you have this amazing experience on the roller coaster, right? It's going to dwindle. So when we dress the part, no, this is not like, if we're only externalizing our well-being, that's only going to take us so far. But baby, when you put that lipstick on, when you put that mascara on, when you put that jewelry on, that dress on, honey, you're going to move a little bit differently. Okay? And so I love that you're inviting us to do the work within and also do the work on the outside so that we are projecting to the world exactly what we want to project. Because if our words and our work don't align with the what we look like and the brand that we're working to build, then you're right. It's still going to block you from getting to the people that you're supposed to get to. Because people are going to be looking at you like, girl, I hear what you're saying and it sounds good, but you don't look that great. And this is unfortunate. I'm not saying this is fair by any means, but I'm saying that if you want abundance, then you have to dress. And I'm not talking about like the designer and all. I'm not talking, and the designer is your thing. Beautiful. Like I like me a little designer, but not using designer as a banner for your identity, but also not being afraid if you reach a certain point in your life and you want designer to have that be a part of your repertoire, right? Mm-hmm. And how you show up in the world and what you want to project to the world. So I really appreciate you saying that, because as we level up, you know, I'm at a women's conference right now. And there was a woman that I met about a year ago who was fabulous, right? She just got a promotion. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that how she dressed when I first met her is very different than how she's dressing now. Why? Because she's leveled up. Mm-hmm. Now she went from this position. Now you're a chief of staff. And as a chief of staff, people expect to see you in a certain light. And whether it's, you know, when we talk about being ourselves, we can be ourselves at every single level of the game. Now, when I look at her, she still is herself. She's not being a caricature of something else. She is actually, she's embodying what a chief of staff looks like, right? And so we've got to embody, if we want to be the CEO of our lives, the CEO of our businesses, and create more abundance, then we have to put the work on the outside. And this is actually where I believe, and this is the last thing I'll say about this, I think that we have taken some, we can be extreme sometimes, right? And if we have, and this is one of the ways that I feel like feminism has harmed us in one way, right? Feminism has been amazing. And in fact, I'm more of a womanist like Alice Walker, right? Having that intersectional lens, because it's so important, because many of our voices were left out of that movement, right? But one of the things that I feel harmed us is that we're like, well, we don't want to be sexual objects. We don't. So we're going to just strip away all of it. You know, I'm not going to wear makeup. I'm going to dress frumpy. I'm going to. And that's fine. But I believe that that's not really your true essence. It's actually your way of rejecting against an idea, but it's a way that you're rejecting against yourself too. So we can't be too extreme in our pursuit for liberation. Now we can be extremists when it comes to abundance, but part of abundance is tapping into the fullness of who we are. Now, if you're somebody who's no makeup, you know, et cetera, you're a minimalist, then be a minimalist to its finest, but don't minimize yourself in the midst of your struggle because you want to project something to the world because you don't want somebody to look at you, because that is a way of hiding too. So I think the invitation for us is, again, to examine both internally and externally how it is that we want to show up and what is blocking us from really stepping into the fullness of who we are. And, you know, and I really believe too, that if you have all black in your wardrobe, if you have like, there's a reason for that. And anything can be on the table in terms of our examination of self in order for us to really tap into the abundance that we seek. So girl, I know I went on a, rant a little bit, because I feel so strongly about that and the ways in which we are really being less than who we are as a result of the image that we believe we're supposed to project to the world, right? So this is so, so good. All right. So the last thing that I want to explore with you before we wrap up is just how you would define abundance. And what the top ways, what are the top ways that you cultivate abundance within your own life?
You know, going back to that spaciousness within, the expansiveness of thought, and it's that endless supply of inner resources. And so we always have more than enough. When I think about abundance in my life, that's where I start with. Every single day, gratitude. Why? Because gratitude is expansive. If I want to tap into abundance and stay away from scarcity, and so I don't become stingy, I'm always in that giving, because that when you give, remember, you're going to get, you're going to receive. And so I want to activate the ability to be able to receive more. And it starts with me giving. Well, we've often been trained to hold on to. I can't tell how many people talk about what's happening in the world in the form of R, but I don't even subscribe to that narrative. Why? Because I'm in an abundant state and I want to stay in an abundant state. I want to keep creating miracles. And if I'm going to step into abundance and live into abundance, it really happens in our inner world. Mm-hmm. And I want to monitor what's happening in that inner world. I want to keep feeding it, making sure that it's flourishing. And that means I have to water it.
Yeah. Well, and also what you said, Christy, is that you are very keen on what you're allowing to enter into your consciousness. Yes. So you're not spending a lot of time having conversations about what's going on in the world. You're not spending a lot of time watching the news, because anything that we consume, from music to news to conversations, are affecting us in some way. And there are times when we have to interrupt that. I was having a conversation with my mother yesterday, but she's always watching the news, like always. And that's fine. That's her life. And I don't subscribe to those kinds of things, because we still have the gift. No matter what's happening in the world, we can still give ourselves the gift of peace. We can still give ourselves the gift of joy, because it's not us that is doing the harm in the world. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to remember that even in the midst of suffering, we don't have to suffer too, because it is not us that's creating that suffering. Mm-hmm. So if we feel inclined to take action, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. So back to this conversation with my mother, you know, so every time I talk to her, I say, Mom, can we change the subject? Mom, I really don't have any energy right now to talk about X, Y, and Z. Mom, I really don't want to put any energy in that right now. And so this is this constant interruption of the way that things come into our life that don't align with our energetic sphere. And so we've got to be mindful about every single interaction we have, every time that we are connected and consuming something. And so this is why I don't watch horror movies. And I used to a lot as a teenager, because I don't want that in my spirit. Mm-hmm. And even when I watch, like, because I like psychological thrillers, as the therapist in me, and there, if I watch something and it's very disturbing, I'm like, ooh, and I don't watch anything like that for a long time, because it's like I've reached my limit in terms of what I want my spirit to access in order for me to stay in that high vibration. Mm-mm. So I love that. I love what you're saying about this being your core practice, because when we think about it, like, what is more essential than blocking things and interrupting things that are actually not making us feel good? Now, this is not toxic positivity, right? Mm-hmm. This is actually just acknowledging that, like, I know that the world is out. I know that things are rough. I know that, you know, people are struggling, and I am choosing to activate my power for joy and peace. And if I feel so led to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to activate. I'm going to write that check. I'm going to bring people together to have conversations about this. I'm going to be a part of change, but I will not be complacent and allow myself to suffer through this, because it is not mine to take on.
That's it.
Girl. Oh. Mm-hmm. I already know. We could have church. And this is all I'm saying. We could. This was the church, Christy. Okay.
Yes, it amen.
Girl, this was such a pleasure spending time with you. You know, we've come to the end of our time. I can't believe it. I'm always like, what? It's the end. But yes, all good things come to an end. So, Christy, let the audience know how they can stay in touch with you, because I know that they're going to want to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And go to the main hub, queenfidence.com, QUEENFIDENCE.com, and on social media platforms, Christy Y. Kennedy. You can find me.
Wonderful. Oh my God. So make sure that you connect with Christy. I know that you have been fed by everything that we've talked about today. And so Christy, thank you for being light. Thank you for cultivating light in self. Thank you for pouring that light out to other people. And thank you for this partnership. I really, really have enjoyed our time. And it has touched me in a profound way. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
I've been inspired by you as well. Beautiful. Keep blazing your trail.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we gonna do it. We gonna do it. I love that. So audience, ladies, you heard it here at the Abundance Summit, which is all about helping you to amplify your joy, to amplify more money, more power, more ease. You heard it here. And until next time, beauties, Ashe.